I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this day. I'd ask that each one of us would open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. And I ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Bill Malone.
Thank you, Dwayne. My message this morning is going to be a little bit different than what I usually do. I have one scripture. I guess it would be my opening and my closing scripture. I was reading in the 10th chapter of Moroni in the Book of Mormon about Moroni's the one of the titles at the top of the page says Moroni's pathetic finale, and it's the words that he speaks to us. Just before the end of his life, words that he speaks to not only to the people that were there at that time, but to all the future generations that would hear these words or that would read these words. And one of the things that he talks about is the spiritual gifts that he experienced, that the people of God will experience, and that because of the people at that time that were surrounding him, those spiritual gifts that had been taken away, that were no longer available to those people because of their lack of spiritual strength, the degradation of their lives, and their spiritual lives had just diminished to the point that there was, for the most part, most of the people that he was surrounded by had pride and hate in their lives. And the spiritual gifts that the scriptures talk about that are available to you and I were not there anymore. And I was thinking about these spiritual gifts, and the many, many things that I've witnessed in my life. And I was thinking about the opportunities that I've had and not taken advantage of to share these experiences with each of you. I remember our sister Evelina several years back made a statement once. She was standing in a prayer and testimony service, and she made the statement, she prefaced her testimony with, "I'm sure all of you have heard this before many times." And then she proceeded to give a testimony. And it was a testimony that I might have heard before, but I didn't remember hearing it. And so to me, it was like hearing a new testimony that she was saying, I'm sure you heard many times. And I think about all of the testimonies that we have given from time to time, and we think that sometimes we're probably boring some of you because you've heard them before. And then I realize that there's a lot of experiences that each one of us have had that many in here have not heard, because we didn't happen to be there at the time that you shared it last, or whatever the circumstances might be. And I thought, you know, this is one of the last opportunities that I'm going to have for a while to meet with each one of you. And share these things. Because I, as you know, I'm no longer a homeowner here in Phoenix. And there are some experiences in my life that I wanted to share with you. Not knowing when I'll have the opportunity again to stand here, so I asked that I could have this time today, that I might do that. In Mariah's plea, I'd like to read just a few of the words that he speaks, starting with the first verse in chapter 10. Now I, Moroni, write somewhat as seemeth me good, and I write unto my brethren, the Lamanites, and I would that they should know that more than 420 years have passed away since the sign was given of the coming of Christ. And I seal up these records after I have spoken a few words by way of exhortation to you, unto you. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam and even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost ye may know the truth of all things. When I have an opportunity to present the Book of Mormon to somebody that isn't familiar with it, this is one of the things that I tell them. Go to the back of the book and read. You know, you don't do that in most novels and books that you read, but this is one of those you need to do that. And when we tell somebody else about reading the Book of Mormon, we need to refer them to chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Read that first before you read the Book of Mormon. It tells you that you need to have the Spirit of God to be with you when you read these things. But because you could read them 100 times and not understand the meaning of the words if you don't allow the Spirit of God to reveal the true meanings that have been written in these words. Without the Spirit of God directing you, they're just words. And whatsoever thing is good and just and true, wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power, according to the faith of the children of men. The same today and tomorrow and forever. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. For they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these signs, that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God, that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And when I read these particular gifts, I think of men, some present and some who have passed on, whose name comes to mind when I think of these words. Men that would have the gift of wisdom and of knowledge and of faith and of healing. And again to another that he may work mighty miracles. And again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another all kinds of tongues. And again to another the interpretation of languages and diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. And they come unto every man severally, according as he will. And when I was reading that word severally, I was wondering, what does that mean? I don't believe that this is telling us that all men will have all of these gifts. I believe what it's telling us is that certain people, certain individuals will have these gifts. Not everyone will have the gift of tongues or the gifts of healing or the gift of faith. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand. Only according to the unbelief of the children of men. And Moroni experienced that unbelief with those that surrounded him at his last days. And we can look in our world today and see more and more the unbelief of the children of men. Yeah, there's quite a few across the world still that claim to be Christians and say that they believe in the gifts of God and the spiritual gifts. But I wonder if they experience the spiritual gifts like God would like us to experience them. They proclaim one thing and yet they live their lives in another manner. Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And despair is what Moroni was surrounded with in his last days. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And more this day that we live in, we see the despair that is becoming prominent in this world because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh, that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. I'd like to tell you that I believe that these gifts that God speaks about throughout the scriptures are there and they're available to each one of us. I think every one of us here in this room have experienced firsthand the gifts of God, the miraculous blessings and healings and things that we've seen that are not circumstantial. They can be attributed to nothing but miraculous blessings from God. Now, I always told myself that I was going to write down all of my major experiences that I had regarding miracles in my life. And I never got around to it. But I did. One day I started writing in the back of my Bible things that were miraculous things that happened to me that I've been privileged to experience in my life. And I'd like to take a few moments of time to share some of these things with you. That God is alive and that He hasn't changed and that these gifts are still available according to our belief. One of the first experiences that I had, there was what I consider miraculous in my life, happened to me down at the old church, the little church on Harvard Street. Before most of you in here were born, I was a young man. I had just moved to Phoenix with my wife. And I became quite interested in the church, and I started getting together with Hubert a lot. And learning more about God, learning more about the church. And I studied a lot with Hubert in those first few years. And a lot with other brothers and sisters in the church during our first few years in Phoenix. And I got to where I had the desire in my heart to serve the Lord, which is a good desire, and I'm sure many of our people, young people here, have that desire in their heart. I'm sure many of the young men in this room that have not been called have that same desire in their heart. And this is probably 5 years after we moved here, and I'd been studying pretty intensely for those 5 years. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm very self-centered, I guess you might say, but I'm thinking to myself sometimes that, well, God doesn't even know I exist. And one day in a service that we were having, in that little church down on Harvard Street, I believe it was a sacrament service, one of our brothers and apostles in the church stood and spoke. And he spoke under the influence of the Spirit of God. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." And that was the first experience that I had, that I had seen somebody make that particular statement that I could recall. I've heard a lot of people say that God told me this and God told me that, but this man spoke under the influence and said, "Thus saith the Spirit of God." And he spoke not in a second person or third person, but a first person. And it was the words of God, I believe. And he spoke to another brother, and then he spoke and mentioned my name. And told me that the, I don't know why this is so difficult, but he told me that it wasn't time yet for me to be called into the ministry. But he told me that my responsibility in the church, excuse me, at that time, and I don't believe it's ever changed, but my responsibility was to be of service to the people in the church. And I've remembered that all my life. And I don't think that admonition has ever changed. And as most of you know, I do help quite a bit whenever I can. And I have been blessed tremendously and proportionately, because it seems like the more that I help, the more God has blessed me with the privilege and opportunity to help. And to hear those words spoken from God is something you don't forget very easily. Many years later, in this church, right after we first built it, I'm going to guess it was somewhere around 1976 or somewhere in there. No, 1977. It was at a reunion that I was here, and I came over to church early, and I was the only one here. And I knelt in prayer. And I was praying to God. And later during that service, one of our brothers stood up and again spoke under the influence of the Spirit of God. And he was up front, and he walked back to the row that I was sitting in, and I think he called two other men at the same time. One to be an apostle, and one other one I don't recall offhand. I think he called our brother Don to be an apostle, and I think our brother Jay to be an elder at that time. And then he spoke to me, and the words that he said were an exact answer to the words that I had prayed that morning. And he spoke to me and called me into the ministry at that time. And I knew, because of the words that he used, that it was from God. And he spoke directly to me again. You know, I've witnessed the speaking of in tongues at least three or four times, at least three, maybe four, that I can't remember because it's been quite a few years back. And it is it's a feeling that is hard to convey. The first time was down at the old church. And Karen and I both made the statement to each other. That we felt like we weren't. That we were kneeling in prayer, but we felt like we weren't touching the ground. It was one of the most awesome spiritual feelings I've ever felt. I don't know why this is so hard just to tell a story. Another experience that I had is the experience that God gave me after Darren's accident. A few years after his accident, we were on vacation at Zion National Park. And we went for a walk. I was holding Darren's hand because it was a difficult walk over rocks and a rough path. And we came to a spot that was too narrow for me to hold his hand, so I had him come along behind me and I was watching him. And Daniel and Karen went on ahead, and we came to a spot where there was a pathway that had been cut out of the rock, and it was a very narrow path and a chain on one side next to the rock to hang on to, and the other side was just open, and a bunch of sharp rocks were down 15 or 20 feet. I don't remember exactly. And I let loose of Darren's hand because he was squeezing so tight he was cutting off circulation. And I said, "Darren, hang on to that chain." And then I turned just for a second and was moving ahead. And the next thing I heard was Darren calling out, "Dad!" And I looked and I saw him. Reaching out to me. His hand was outstretched to me. And I reached and I grabbed his hand and he came to me. And I didn't think much of it after that. It just was one of those things that happens. Later that night, we're in our motorhome, and I was offering my prayers for the evening, just kind of silently talking to God. And I didn't think twice about that particular instance. I was just thanking Him for the blessings of life. And at a certain point, an image came into my mind. And it was that image. I looked back and I saw Darren with his hand reaching out to me. And in my mind at that time, I saw that Darren was actually coming towards me. His hand was reaching out. He was falling, but he was coming toward me. And it just didn't make any sense. And And immediately in my mind came this voice. Said, it was I who returned him to you. I didn't realize at the time how much danger Darren was in. But I know that he would have lost his life if it hadn't have been for the hand of God reaching out and pushing him back to me. There's another experience I had. You all know I'm a motorhome guy. I have been for many, many years. And I can recall back the first one that I bought. Well, maybe the second one I bought. I was thinking to myself, you know, we're supposed to take everything to God in prayer. And I thought, is it right to go to God and ask him about a motorhome? And I didn't know. And I thought, well, he says everything. So I was praying about it. And I prayed that, well, if it isn't right, maybe he'll let me know that too. So I'm praying. And I'm out also looking at motorhomes, and I found one that I thought was reasonable, and I figured the guy said he could get me financing for it, and I thought, well, okay, we'll try it, and I'll keep praying about it, and if it's right, I pray that the Lord will help me get it. And a few days went by, and I continued praying about it. And we had negotiated a price on this thing, and I wanted to get it, but I really wanted to know the Lord's will. And one day, when I checked the mail, there was a letter in there for me. And it was from a company that I used to work for. And it was part of there was a settlement in there of a 401 that I had participated in. And I had thought the guy lost all the money and that I would never see any of it again. And I hadn't thought about it for a couple of years. And I opened that letter and saw that check. And it was for the exact same amount. Of the price that I had negotiated with the guy for that motorhome. And as a lot of you know, that motorhome went on quite a few, lots and lots of missionary trips and outings that we had with young people, and it was used extensively. I let a lot of the ministry use it when they went on missionary trips, and it was used in the service of the Lord. Coincidence? Maybe. But to receive a check for $14,800, which was the exact cost of that, negotiated price. I don't chalk that up as coincidence. You know, I've been blessed with instant, miraculous healings in my life that I've experienced firsthand. One of them was, I was helping out at Gordon's house once, trying to get a roof put on before the rain was coming. And so I was down there on a Friday and was working away, and I just got real weak. And I just kept getting weaker and weaker, and I started getting cramps. And I got to where I just was to the point that every muscle in my body was cramping. I mean, one cramp hurts like the dickens, and you can imagine, I was, with every muscle in your body cramping, I was in extreme pain to the extent that I don't do it very often, but I was crying out with pain. And something was desperately wrong, and I think I traced it back to just taking too much blood pressure medication that day, and my blood pressure dropped to 60 over nothing. And I was vomiting, and just, I was miserable. And I asked for administration, and when Gordon got home, I think Gordon and Brian, if I'm not mistaken, administered to me. And I went from that state to 60 seconds after they left. I was up, got dressed, asked Karen to fix me something to eat. Such a miraculous instant. Blessing. Coincidence? I don't think so. I was at the East Local one time at a Wednesday evening prayer service, praying that, Lord, if there's the testimony you'd like me to share, bring it to my mind that I can share this testimony. And I was praying this prayer, and what came to my mind was an instant, total recollection of all of these experiences that I had had. It was like 25 miraculous blessings in my life. I could recall every one of them just instantly. And I thought, wow, that was marvelous. That there's no way that could have happened on my own, because I just don't have that kind of recall. And I realized the Lord once again blessed me with that. And That was the blessing that I shared of what he just did for me. I remember traveling with Marvin Ely one time in one of the motorhomes that I had, and it was having some mechanical difficulties, running on 6 cylinders instead of 8, just had no power. And we're fighting a headwind and really had a problem. And I mentioned to Marvin about the headwind, and we're driving along, and about half an hour later, he says, "Do you notice anything?" And I didn't. I just was driving along. And then you said, you don't have a headwind anymore. And I said, you're right. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what his prayer was. He's the one I think of when it talks about the gift of faith. His face comes to my mind. He was a man with a strong faith. There's about 20 more of them here that I'd like to share with you. But they all tell the same thing. They tell us that God is alive and well. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the blessings that he provided for men of old, he still provides for men today, for mankind today. Oh, there's so many more I want to share with you. But perhaps another day. Thank you.